Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael. I was sent a couple of things. I'm going to play again some more of that audio clip from a speech that President John F. Kennedy gave to a group of folks in the media industry. He was talking to them and explaining to them what the responsibility was. This first part that you heard before the break was talking about how there's a group of people who are basically doing things behind closed doors. And so I think that is a preface to tell basically these media people why they need to be straightforward, honest, and not merely entertained. He hasn't said that yet in the speech, but you'll hear it. Before the break, I told you about this incident where somebody who was appointed, who had political power and a political appointee, was involved in big business. I don't know where they stand and if they're one of the Forbes 400 or not. I don't have a clue what their status is, but there was some influence, some wheeling and dealing going in a particular town, and somebody of influence and power was taking advantage of the weakest member of the society, folks that had just had their houses destroyed by Katrina, and was finding a mechanism to have the FEMA bulldoze these people's house. And then it sounds pretty extreme, but what they were being told was, listen, you're not going to be able to rebuild because there's new FEMA rules coming out. Well, just rebuild quick, right? Before the rule comes out, you're good to go. That's a good old, you know, that's just the way it is, called the grandfather clause. But they said, well, we're not going to allow you because in the future you may not be allowed to rebuild. Well, that's what was going on. And so what was happening is they said, if you'll sign this right away, we'll have, right now we have access to FEMA to come in here on your land and bulldoze your property. Because this way, as soon as this date goes by, you'll have to pay for the bulldozing yourself. So they would sign away this right away. Now they get the house bulldozed. A perfectly fine house. The only thing it needed was to have the sheetrock taken off. Make sure you clean up the outlets, replace the outlets. And then your house can be put back together again in short order. It didn't need to be bulldozed. And I watched a perfectly good house. It tells no. And we were there to, I had a team of volunteers ready to fix a house. No. This house is going to have to be bulldozed. I'm looking around going, why? Well, what it was, after the house was bulldozed, somebody with power and influence came in that was kind of wheeling and dealing in the background and then purchased the slabs at slab price rather than house price. And of course, FEMA was the one that tore down the whole house. And oh, by the way, and caller, we're going to get you in a second here. But by the way, this person had foreknowledge of a plan of building and developing this area that very few people knew about. And this person was taking great advantage at somebody else's great loss. There, I'm telling you what, it's appointed man wants to die. And then the judgment. Hey, we're going to take a call here. We're going to get back to this President Kennedy commentary from a speech that he gave. Hey, caller, thank you for calling the Eagle 104.3 FM. What's your question or comment?
I spoke with you yesterday.
Yes, Brian Moore. How are you doing?
Okay.
So have you got more information on that topic of Mr. Rayford?
Well, in the sense of I did receive a phone call from his sister this afternoon in response to an article that was in the Tampa Tribune's Hernando edition on us urging a probe, and she indicated that she and her brother were not able to see the body of her brother, and when his body was turned over to the morgue, the funeral home, there were significant injuries and raised questions on her part as to what caused these injuries, not only to the face but to the torso as well. In fact, she said he was unrecognizable. So I asked her if they still had buried her brother, and she, I was sorry to say, said that they cremated him. But I'm hoping that that the morgue or the sheriff's morgue will have taken pictures when they conducted their autopsy and that the family can obtain it. She did indicate that the family would like to have an investigation. So I think that's a step up because when I inquired as a concerned citizen, Initially, I was told that only the families could request an investigation, but apparently they did reconsider and were looking into it, but I think this just reinforces the need for such a study.
And thank you, by the way, Brian Moore. It's kind of tough when you're a neighbor and you see something going on. And I'll have an anecdote for our listeners of a intervention that I found myself getting stuck in, whether I liked it or not. But I appreciate your diving in there. And this is a difficult thing. Now, obviously, we're hearing secondhand what a family member said. We're not going to mention her name. Now, she never got to see him.
Correct. She said that. Correct.
Okay. And do you remember who she said was told her that it wasn't something that she wanted to see?
Well, she said that actually it was her brother that went down when they pulled the body out of the water.
Okay.
They would not let him go anywhere near to see him.
Okay.
But he said, well, then how do you know it's my brother? And they told him because we found identification on his body. You know, I always thought that the family members were supposed to identify visually.
Yeah, even if it's troubling to see.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe I misunderstood, or maybe she was incorrect in what she conveyed. But that's what I heard from her anyway.
So essentially,
they did turn over the body after the autopsy, and that the lady at the funeral home indicated to the family that that she could not repair his body properly, but that it was strange for him, his body, to have deteriorated or been damaged so badly when he was only in the water for about 35 or 40 hours.
But they didn't say
that she had a body prior to his that week who had been in the water for 10 days and was no further off or actually much better off than his body or condition was. So it raises questions, you know, why would he be damaged? She said there was a big hole in his stomach and there was all kinds of cuts and bruises and that they could not recognize him from looking at his face. So, you know, I was sorry to hear that they cremated the body, but hopefully that there'll be pictures that they can ask some scientist or somebody with some expertise to determine the nature of those injuries to his body.
Yeah, that's pretty extreme. I mean, I would think that the family could go to the police department and ask them squarely and for the autopsy, give me a report. I mean, I would think they'd be able to do that.
A report with pictures, though.
Or whether it's pictures or not, a very, a total report, because, I mean, that's a government function. Are they just doing it for themselves? Or they keep it on, you know?
Well, a reporter that wrote the article today in the Tampa Tribune's edition of Hernando County said that the report indicated he died by accidental drowning, quote, unquote. You know, was it just a general reference?
But bruises and cuts on his face.
To imply
right.
That, you know, he did not die from some other blunt instrument. But that would be strange, you know, unless they say, well, the water and exposure to lake life, maybe alligators or something. Maybe they'll put the blame on that. I don't know.
Well, here's a question, too. It could be dying by drowning, but was the person, could it be because they were unconscious in the water?
Right, yeah. And did the helicopter force him down underwater where he couldn't come up? And so anyway, I called the sheriff's office several times this afternoon, but neither of the two parties, Donna Black, the information sergeant, or Kathleen Reed, the internal affairs sergeant, were available. I had to leave messages and ask them to call me back.
Right. Now, I will tell you that they may not answer you, and the reason why, because...
But I wanted to know answers that I could convey to the family as to the procedure and how they might go about registering or requesting an official investigation and also obtaining photos of their brother's body from the sheriff's morgue or whatever.
Yeah, and I was talking to somebody earlier about something that I've seen today. I had to deal with things because somebody outside the family, outside maybe first person need to know or need to be involved, got involved with somebody else's life, and I spent this morning helping other people put out fires over that. So there is something about if you aren't a firsthand family member, getting involved, basically, I've said it on the radio before, but it's maintaining quarrels. And the difficult part, I think, once you get to a certain place as a citizen and neighbor, is you get the information. At that point, you have to kind of step back and say, well, let Almighty God has the ability to inspire those people to follow up on something. Now, if you've got a particular concern about what's happening in your neighborhood, well, I think as a resident of what do they call that, Hunter's Lake?
Hunter Lake, yes.
I would think at that point, then as a Hunter Lake resident, then I think you could pursue things that were based on your of interest of you as a resident of Hunter Lake. But that's something to think about. We're trying to deal with these issues on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. So it's the tough part is not doing the wrong thing for the right reasons. And that's a difficult balance, isn't it? You're trying to help, but at the same time, not overdo it.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I suggested to her then that she should request the investigation. She should obtain, but she doesn't know. She actually called to thank me for pursuing the matter, and she said that they had called her down to the lake the day of the escape and loss of the fugitive, and when she got there, they just said that they couldn't find him, and she felt confident that he had probably gotten away because she knew that he was an expert swimmer, that he had been swimming on the lake before. He was an avid fisherman. He had been around water and this lake a number of times. And so she didn't fear the worst, which ultimately happened.
Right.
Until, Saturday when they got the news that they found the body.
Okay.
So she wasn't thinking it on Thursday when the matter happened at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the afternoon that there was any danger to his losing his life.
Hey, I want to tell you, Brian, thank you for giving me an update and our listeners here on the Freedom 104.3 FM. And I'll tell you, you and I are going to be talking next week. I look forward to it. I'm going to do a little bit of investigation myself over the details of that report, and we're going to see what we can come up with and just read straight from any reports that we can find. And then that's what I try to tell people. Let's just look at the facts, and the facts should make us all come to a conclusion. Not for us to make the conclusions before we see the facts. So this is part of an ongoing adventure. We'll keep an eye on this. I think I appreciate your civic duty and diving in there and even your concern for your neighbor, criminal history or not. How's that?
All right. Well, okay. Thank you.
Hey, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, David.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was Brian Moore, a citizen, a resident. He lives in the Hunter Lake area. And he had information that maybe the story about Mr. Rayford, who died during a police pursuit, the information that was being put out on the news originally wasn't necessarily what would really happen, because he found out from people who witnessed it that maybe the report wasn't completely accurate. Now we have a report that the person's head, his face area, was damaged to a place where he was not recognizable. Did he get alligators? There was a report that Mr. Moore said that one of the neighbors said there are alligators in the area. Maybe he got crunched by an alligator while he was underwater. We don't know. So we're going to look into that. We're going to continue to bring that up. We come back, we're going to hear again from President John F. Kennedy talking about what our role is in the media with regard to bringing up the facts. We'll be back.